Was it really just 300 Spartans versus the entire Persian army? Did Alexander the Great really believe he was a god? Was the Tower of Babylon a real place? If you've ever been watching a movie, a TV show, reading a book, maybe even playing a video game that set itself in our own history, you may have asked some of these questions. The Grimdark History Podcast looks to explore that intersection between history and popular fiction, and we want to get to the nitty-gritty details and answer those questions while exploring all the fun, fascinating, and interesting things in our own history. Come check out the Grimdark History Podcast.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Mad Max scenes.
She'd be like, womp, 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 womp. And this one, suddenly she'd be like, womp, 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 womp.
Snoopy in a cage fighting another dog. That would have been a very dark turn.
Took me 3 months to finish it.
If you like soup, it's a six.
There was war, and then there was peace.
Hello, and welcome to Movie Smiles!
Hello and welcome to Movie Smash, the show where we dive headfirst into comic book movies outside the MCU. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. If you've been here before, you know the drill. Each episode, we're going to smash through a movie whose source materials from a graphic novel or a comic. Is it worth revisiting? Should it be forgotten? Let's find out. This is Movie Smash. I'm one of your hosts, Chris Roberts. I'm the founder of All Panel Creations. With me today, I have Jeremy Parmentier.
Hey, this is Jeremy Parmentier, also of the Retrovaniacs podcast and a non-animated lovable loser.
And our special guest this evening is Jack Scully.
Hi, I'm Jack Scully. I'm a webcomic creator. I draw my own webcomic at nowicantlose.com. I'm also in the process of writing a choose-your-own-adventure style game book called Manor of Death to be decided. But mainly I do webcomics. I love jokes. I love jokes and funny stuff. So that's what I do.
So our movie tonight, if you did not read the title of the episode, is 2015's The Peanuts Movie, starring Noah Schnapp, Bill Melendez, and Hadley Bell Miller, and directed by Steve Martino.
Hey, Kay, look, there's a new kid moving in.
I just hope this new kid has never heard of me.
It's not often you get the opportunity to start over with a clean slate. This time, things will be different.
Charlie Brown needed a miracle.
I just need to know the secret for doing something great.
What he got was Snoopy.
No dog!
This November.
Look out, world, here I come.
If you really want to impress people, you need to show them you're a winner.
This is our second comic strip-based movie that we've ever done. So what made you choose this one?
Well, as I mentioned before, I write my own comics, and I grew up reading the newspaper comics. Peanuts, of course, was a mainstay in the newspaper comics, and it still is today, despite the author, Charles Schulz, passing away, which was also a huge shock to me when I was a kid. So when you guys told me about the show and said you did non-Marvel comic book movies, I was like, oh, there's all these great comic book movies I want to watch, but I don't make comics like with a story. So I was like, oh, what should I do? So then I thought back, okay, comic strips were, you know, my favorite thing growing up. Why not go with that? And since there's not a Far Side movie, I figured why not Peanuts?
Now that I want to watch.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, guys, you were all familiar with the Peanuts characters before today.
Yeah, just like Jack, I read them in the comic, you know, in the paper every day. You know, when we were kids, the Sunday paper was like the big one. You get a color. It always had Peanuts on the front. At least our local one did. So I was very familiar. But then also, you know, those holiday specials were around every year. I mean, since well before any of us were born, and pretty much were like they're part of the culture of the country. Really, I mean, I don't know anyone who has not watched the Peanuts Christmas special. So I'm very familiar with the characters.
Yeah, I'm extremely familiar with the characters. I can name all of them. I can give you their last names too, but I won't bore you with that. And I don't know. Let's see. I guess they're, you know, everyone's, I think mostly nowadays people are more familiar with Snoopy than anyone else, you know, because your great aunt sends you a picture of Snoopy every morning with a rise and shine kind of message on it. I don't know where I'm going with this. Yeah, I know the characters.
it's funny, Jeremy, you're saying like you remember the comic strip and then the movies. If you just ask me out of the blue about Peanuts, my first thought would really go to the movies, not necessarily to the comic strip. Now, I remember reading the comic strip, obviously, but in mine was not the Christmas special, it was the Halloween special with the Great Pumpkin.
Great Pumpkin, Thanksgiving, Christmas, those three are the big ones. There were others. They had other TV specials. They weren't all just those three, but those are the three, I mean, in my opinion, the best, but the ones you see every year.
Do you remember It's Flash Beagle, Charlie Brown? They did a whole flash dance parody with Snoopy. He goes to the club and disco dancing.
Well, I mean, I remember the two, like there was at least one, if not two different like Red Baron ones that were specific to just Snoopy and the Red Baron. Like I remember as a kid never getting to see those. And then when I finally did, I was all excited. We'll see if my opinions on those sort of things have changed as we talk about the movie itself. But I do remember a lot of those. But there are definitely some I never saw. The one where I remember the one where Charlie Brown goes to France, and that's about all I remember about it, right? So I mean, there are definitely a bunch of specials. But those three, the big holiday ones, were the ones everyone remembers.
A couple interesting things, too, is like I think kids growing up today, if they're familiar at all with Snoopy, it's going to be familiar with the characters, it's going to be through Snoopy, maybe even through like those old MetLife commercials that pop up every now and again. It's an old IP. It's been around for a very long time. So, but for this movie in particular, was this the first time you saw the Peanuts movie?
Yes, this was the first time I saw it. I don't watch a huge number of movies. I tend to, get sidetracked in the middle of them. I have to get up and do something. So for this movie in particular, I actually paused it three times to go do some work, even though it's a very kind of an easy to watch movie. So when I do watch a movie, I try to really like block out a huge amount of time so that I can get it done. So this is the first time I've seen this. It might not be the last time I watch it, but who knows?
Yeah, I'd seen this before when this came out, which is 2015. So when it was on streaming services or whatever, I have two little kids. At that time, they would have been 7 and 5. So this was like a perfect kids movie to pull out. Something that you without seeing it, you can assume it's not going to be an edgy take on Peanuts. You saw the previews. You're like, yep, this looks like Peanuts. Like I remember, this is a safe kids selection. I don't know if you have kids, Jack, but there's a lot of movies that seem like they're safe kids movies. And then you get about 15 minutes in, you realize you made a grave mistake. I figured Peanuts, mm-hmm. I was pretty safe. Even if it wasn't very exciting to me, I knew they would enjoy it. And they, to their credit, they did sit through it. So. I have seen this once before in full and then again for today.
Nice. And this was my first time seeing the movie. I had never seen it before. I remember there being going to the theater around that time period, and there were the large cardboard cutouts of the characters, mm-hmm. but never actually went to that time period.
I was surprised to see it was 2015 because I remember seeing the cutouts and stuff, and I thought it was more recent than that. I'm like, 2015, that's a ways back. It's before 2016. I was like, that's a little shocking to me.
I had thought this movie came out like 3 years ago.
Right.
Jeremy, do you have any, I know Fergal only does our comic book history, but do you have a brief history for us about who the Peanuts characters are?
Sure. Or at least just the history of the strip. As Jack mentioned, this has been a kind of a staple of the three panel newspaper comics, really, is how I remember them. They were from around the 50s. Charles Schulz has been the author and writer the entire time. As you mentioned, he's passed away in the year 2000, but this comic's still run today. Thankfully, his original strip's just being redone. They didn't give the rights to some other person to take over. His family didn't take it over as far as creating new content. They pretty much just let his strip speak for themselves because they had 50 years of strips to go through, and they're still running today in most papers.
Now, I do recall back before 2000, he knew he was getting old and he was going to eventually stop drawing the comics. And there was a whole big controversy about what they were going to do because he was sort of shopping around the idea that maybe he would let someone take over. And I just remember really vividly that somebody did like a parody comic where Charlie Brown, goes to kick the football. And then when Lucy pulls it away, she shoots him with a pistol. And then when Charles Schulz saw that, he said, "I'm not letting anyone take over after I'm gone. It ends here." But I mean, if they had let someone take over, it probably wouldn't have come to that. But I just remember that really vividly because as a kid, I was like, it was like I was invested. I was invested in the whole situation.
If this is your first time joining us, just a heads up, and we're about to discuss some elements of the story that might be considered spoilers, but it is a Peanuts movie. So Lucy's going to steal the football. Snoopy's going to shoot at the Red Baron. But consider yourself warned if you've never seen this before. So, Jack, can you walk us through the plot of this movie?
Yes. Okay. So this movie has a main plot and has a Charlie Brown main plot and it has a Snoopy subplot. So the main plot with Charlie Brown is that there is a new person moving into the neighborhood. They've got a new student at the school. And of course, when it's finally revealed who it is the little redheaded girl who he's been in love with for the, you know, pretty much the entire run of the comic. So the movie follows Charlie as he's trying to make a name for himself and basically impress her, because he's sort of a sad sack kind of guy. And she's new in town, so he wants to make a good first impression. So he does all these different things to try to make her know who he is and kind of win her heart. And then the subplot, the Snoopy subplot, is Snoopy finds an old typewriter and he starts to write a book. He's writing a book about himself as a World War I flying ace fighting the Red Baron. And whenever he does the writing, you're not just watching him sit at the typewriter, you know, tip-tapping away at the keys, but it goes into sort of dream sequences where he is having dog fights at airplane, you know, airplane fights. He's a dog, so he's having dog fights. It's basically he's writing a book, but it's a little dream sequence kind of thing. It's fun. They've got a lot of, it's got a lot of like visual gags. The movie itself, like, there's not that many like spoken jokes, but there's a lot of visual humor going on. But that's the basic plot. Two plots.
Normally at this point, we start discussing the characters, but I want to change gears a little bit. This was the first movie made of the Peanuts characters after Schultz had passed away. In fact, when this movie came out, no Peanuts movie had come out for 30 years prior to that. So my question for you is, was it did they faithfully recreate a Schultz movie?
I think it was extremely faithful. I think it was probably about as faithful as it could have possibly been. In terms of tone and in terms of how the characters were treated, I thought it was faithful. And in terms of the art style, even though it was, you know, it's a 3D film, they do an incredible job of translating Schultz's art style into 3D. That was probably, for me, the most impressive part of the movie.
Yeah, that's like I kind of mentioned when I saw it with my kids and was interested in seeing it. When you saw the previews, you're like, wow, this does look and feel like what I want Peanuts to look and feel like. And knowing now that like his family helped kind of create this script, made sure they approved everything, made sure it still felt like Peanuts. And it really does. For better or worse, depending on your thoughts on Peanuts, it does match what you'd hope a Peanuts movie is. Not, again, some edgelord take on Peanuts. It's not live action where you're like, what is going on here? Instead, it feels and looks like Peanuts.
I really kind of wonder what an edgelord take on Peanuts would be.
They had Saturday Night Live sketches on it. You can just look them up. They have several, and they're funny as a sketch. Do I need a movie of it? No.
Yeah. I mean, I know someone, some webcomic artist did like a whole like Mad Max style Charlie Brown story called Weapon Brown, where it's like he's like a Mad Max character. He throws in all these other comic characters. That's probably about as edgy as you can get. But in terms of like an edgy movie, I feel like, if anything, this was less edgy than the comics. Sometimes the comics had a more biting satirical edge to them. Not, you know, not that biting, but this one was very like kind of very mild in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah. There were definitely some, you know, takes on the culture that Schultz would have put in, you know, in the 60s and 70s that we wouldn't have picked up on as kids. I mean, I wasn't alive in the 60s, but even when you reread them, you just don't get it, right? You weren't there at the time. You don't see how this is like, wow, this is kind of cutting edge commentary. This was definitely more of a greatest hits for the kids.
Any of the individual character representations you thought were very, very good or they pretty much across the board all equally lifted well?
That's a darn good question.
That's why I asked it.
I feel like most of the characters weren't extremely fleshed out. Besides Charlie and Snoopy, the other characters don't have their own stories. Some of them have like a character arc, but it's like Lucy has a bit of a character arc in this movie where she grows to appreciate Charlie Brown like a little more over the course of the movie. You got his friend Linus. Linus doesn't really have an arc here, but he's like the voice of reason throughout the entire film. The teacher, Mrs. Othmar, I think they let her maybe, you know, like play a little more fast and loose with the dialogue, because in the older movies, she'd be like, mwah, 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 mwah. And in this one, suddenly she'd be like, mwah, 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 mwah. But I think they did a good job with Sally, his little sister. She had a bit more of a role in this one than in some of the other films. I remember when I was a kid, mostly all I knew about Sally was that she was in love with Linus. They like, right. They referenced that a little, but she also she's like more of a kid in this one. She's got like a brother sister, they kind of emphasize the brother sister relationship in a way that's very sweet. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I think Jack's pretty much dead on. Other than Charlie Brown, who has, you know, the focus of the movie is Charlie Brown. I mean, Snoopy, he's in it, but he doesn't really have an arc. He just does stuff and he's a dog and you're like, okay, he's great. But like, Charlie Brown's the only one that has like any real character. They have all the characters that you'd recognize from the strips and the TV and the TV specials, Peppermint Patty and Marcy and all those folks, but they don't, it's hard for me to say whether or not they were developed because you already knew those characters going in. They still have the same mannerisms. They still felt the same. So I don't know if like my kids would have been able to say like, oh, this is what I know about Marcy, right? Like, I don't think they would have any idea, but they're in there. Linus is the big one where I think if you watch those specials as a kid and you read it more, Linus was always a larger piece, especially things like The Great Pumpkin. So not having that, any of those kind of side stories, I don't know if Linus fell a little flat for some folks, but you know, this really was a Charlie Brown movie with Snoopy in it.
Now that you mention Peppermint Patty and Marcy, I kind of feel like they were downplayed a bit in this one. Like, they had less of a role than I would have thought. And I think the main reason was the focus was on Charlie Brown's crush on the little redhead girl. If you give Peppermint Patty too much focus, then you really feel bad for her because, you know, she's got a crush on Charlie. So I think they didn't want to have her play too big a role because they wanted to keep the feeling lighthearted.
That's actually a really good point because, like, the only part in time she comes up is at the part where she makes a phone call telling her to bring the cupcakes right. And toast.
And the test. But yeah, the cupcakes and toast.
So, Jeremy, I think you touched on a little bit. This movie feels like a best of when it comes to Charlie Brown. It's a lot of references to previous movies or strips we've seen. Now, a little bit of a twist. They're not lifted 100%. But did any of the scenes stand out to you guys in particular?
Well, there's a lot of similarities. So you've got Lucy has her booth, the advice booth, right, for 5 cents or whatever. That's in there. That's something that was pretty staple of the comic strip. It was in some of the specials. You've got, even Peppermint Patty saying bring cupcakes and toast is kind of a throwback to the Thanksgiving special where she has Charlie Brown like host Thanksgiving where he doesn't realize he's doing it, but it's the same kind of like ridiculous menu. There's a lot. The red-haired girl, someone that Charlie Brown has a crush on that's a new girl at school, somebody else, like that's all things that were in those strips and the specials. So it's, and all the stuff with Snoopy, the Red Baron stuff is pulled straight from different specials, different. Again, it's kind of taking all those things that worked for Peanuts historically. And, you know, for a lot of kids, especially, cause it was definitely targeted at kids. You figure they don't have this connection. No one gets a newspaper anymore, right? I mean, people do, but not really. I certainly don't. My kids have never seen a newspaper, so they wouldn't be looking through the comics for papers. I doubt they've ever read a Peanuts strip. You know, it's like we covered the only other kind of three panel thing we've covered was the Garfield movie. And I think that went the other direction where they tried to like, we're going to modernize Garfield and put him in today's world. We're going to do all these, I mean, today's world and do all these, but where Peanuts is like, nope, we're going to take Peanuts. We're going to have it basically be exactly the same, but you know, we're going to modernize the art style, but that's it. Everything else is basically still classic Peanuts themes, just done, you know, loops it all together very well. It does tie in that overarching story of Charlie Brown trying to impress the new girl in town, right? That's the overarching theme. But there's all this other stuff that happens that is pulled from those strips and specials.
I think I can agree with that. They do like a lot of little references in there to like lesser known characters. Like I was kind of shocked. I was looking at the when I was watching the credits, they show that Shermie was in it, and I didn't see him in the movie, but Shermie was one of the original characters from like the first year of strips. In the first year of strips, it was Charlie, Shermie, and Patty, not Peppermint Patty, but the girl with the bobbed blonde hair, and Violet. And there she and Violet, Patty and Violet are like best friends, and they're in this movie. And they're actually kind of big characters in this movie to some degree. But I was shocked that Shermie was in it because no one knows who Shermie is unless
I certainly don't.
right. He was like the older brother character. At first, like Charlie Brown was like a sort of like a whimsical, flighty little kid. He was like a 5-year-old when it first started. But I was like, oh, Shermie's in it. Kite eating tree is in it.
Yeah.
You know?
I kind of feel like this was almost like an homage to everything he's done his entire career, because I feel like even at the end, when the credits start rolling, you kind of mention it. it's kind of, they show the scene with the football, which wasn't in the actual movie. They show the scene with all the Snoopy's family. Kind of right. Like, we didn't have a chance to put them in the actual movie. So we have these little clips on the end just to get them in there. We want to get everything into this movie. Because this is the one and done. Like, we're not coming back to this IP again. We want to put everything we can into this movie so we don't miss a thing. Which is maybe why that character was in there. Maybe he's in the background somewhere, just to make sure they got everything into the movie.
Right. Yeah, if they hadn't put the football scene in at the end, I feel like it would not have been a complete film. Like, they needed that. It also kind of capped off Lucy's character arc, because even though she grows to appreciate Charlie more, she's still, you know, she's got that, you know, that heart of ice. She retains the essence of her character with the football trick. So I like that.
I kind of feel like the piece was almost like a period piece. I mean, think about it. Jeremy kind of mentioned they didn't update this IP at all. There's no iPads. No one's carrying around cell phones. You know, everything. You know, they got the old. They still have wired phones. Still, Charlie even gets wrapped up in the cord for one part of it. It's like at times you look at sort of like the way it's described. It is a period piece from the 60s. I mean, the fact they had to get a phone call to know if there's no school. They're not even watching television to find out there's no school.
That was nostalgic.
Yeah,
yeah,
I liked that.
I mean,
I used to listen to the radio.
that's how you found out if you had no school. You listen to the radio. That's true. Instead of watching for the ticker on the bottom of the TV screen or right. Just now texting and calling and sending emails. If you have kids, you get 75 notifications when there's no school. But yeah, at the time, you figure if these strips stopped in 2000. So kids didn't have cell phones in 2000. I mean, older adults, you know, older kids and adults had them, but not younger kids. So even if you pulled from like the last few years of this, it's still going to seem fairly dated. But in general, Peanuts since the 60s have kind of felt timeless, because it's not, they don't have a lot of, I mean, I'm sure the strips did, but the specials and stuff didn't have a ton of references to specific 60s and 70s, you know, historical things going on, right? I mean, there were some, but when you Woodstock. Think about, yeah, oh, well, yeah, Woodstock, the name for the bird, but there were other, I'm sure there are other things you can find if you go back through all the strips where you can see some things you're like, oh, this is tied to this event or not, but the things you're going to see cycled through, the stuff that I would have seen in papers as a kid, the stuff that would have been new in the, you know, the 80s, 90s, when I would have read them when they were current, they would have felt current at the time, right? So it feels fairly timeless. And it's about just kids and their relationships with each other, so it's going to be timeless. That doesn't matter where you are. Some of that's still there.
I feel like the relationships that Charlie Brown has in this are actually feel more real as kid relationships than you do in current movies. I mean, his friends are jerks to him, right? But they're not like, they don't hate him. But it's like same kind of like kid humor where I've seen with my kids with other kids. Like it's, you're like, wow, if I was an adult hearing that, I would be like, you hate me, don't you? But kids, that's just how they talk.
Yeah. Which is interesting because like one of the major like conceits, one of the major jokes in Peanuts was that the kids in it sort of act like adults. Like they have like neurotic personalities. But you're right. They still feel like kids. Like, you know, Lucy's, she pretends to be a psychiatrist. Charlie Brown's got this, like, this low self-esteem issue that, like, you don't see kids who, like, talk about themselves, like, oh, I'm so wishy-washy. Nobody likes me.
And the male pattern baldening.
Yeah, okay. So, the simple art style of the strips, it looks like he's bald, but he's not really supposed to be bald. Right. Yeah. It's like a stylistic, like, hairdo. It's easy to draw. I mean, his dad is a barber. But then when they made the movie, they're like, you know what? We're translating it to 3D. He looks bald in the comics. We're going to give him a little whiff of hair in the back and a little whiff of hair in the front, and we're going to call it a day. And I was like, you know, at first I was like, I don't know how I don't think I like how it looks. I especially didn't like the little hair in the back.
The back,
I
thought that was strange. The back was not cool.
When he goes out on stage, I saw a little thing in the back of his head. I'm like, oh my God, the little piece of hair in the back too.
Yeah. And I'm like, but what else could they have done? Were they going to like give him like a full head of like a full head of hair? It would have just been odd. He wouldn't have been recognizable. So it's probably the right choice.
So who is your favorite character?
Linus is probably my favorite character. I liked Linus a lot. I mean, no disrespect to Snoopy, but I think for me, probably Linus is my favorite character. Followed by maybe Lucy. She's kind of a jerk, but I still like Lucy.
I always liked Schroeder because all he wanted to do was play the piano and be left alone. And instead, Lucy's all over him and he would just be like, okay, whatever, and just keep going back to playing. I always liked Schroeder.
He's relatable. He's so relatable.
I do like the scene, though, where the water gets poured on Pigpen and he looks completely different.
That does happen once in the comics where he gets cleaned up, and that's where they got the design for him cleaned up. I did think it was weird that he was dirty in the winter, because I'm like, where is he finding this mud? But it's just, you know, it's Pigpen.
As I say, it's any kid, though. I have two boys. Doesn't matter what the weather is outside. It could be pure snow everywhere, and they'll still come home covered in mud. So that's very accurate.
How'd you guys feel about the Snoopy dogfight scenes? Because those are very different than previous ones we've seen in the past.
You mean the Red Baron ones, not like Snoopy in a cage fighting another dog. That would have been a very dark turn.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Mad Max scenes.
Yeah.
I liked them. I thought it was cool that the animators were able to have a ton of fun animating those scenes. They were, you know, they were extremely dynamic. They were exciting. And you can do that without kind of infringing on the spirit of Peanuts. Because I think if Charles Schulz saw the movie, he wouldn't have been like, oh no, this part's too action-packed. So I thought those scenes were a lot of fun. I think probably kids who didn't grow up with Peanuts, who watched this movie, probably enjoyed those scenes the most out of anything in the movie.
Yeah, my kids were definitely, when we watched it, and again, they weren't extremely familiar with Peanuts outside of, you know, we make them watch the Christmas one because that's just a staple. You got to do it. But otherwise, they weren't really familiar at that age, and they loved the Red Baron stuff. They liked the Snoopy stuff. Everything he did was great. I found when I watched it again, especially this viewing, not that I didn't like it, but I thought there was too much of that. There was too much Red Baron. There was too much Snoopy. I mean, I get that is a big draw. And for many people, that's probably why they wanted to watch this movie. But I thought because there was actually a story with Charlie Brown and there were all these little arcs where you got to actually see him win, even if it's only for a moment, you get to see Charlie Brown have a win. He learns how to dance. Great. He thinks he has the best score in this math test. Then he's going to do this amazing book report. And there's all these other things he's going to do that in a 3-panel comic, you never see Charlie Brown win for very much. Even on the specials, you know, Thanksgiving, everyone comes to his house. It ends up okay. But man, towards the end, they're like, you're a blockhead, Charlie Brown. I can't believe you set up this horrible Thanksgiving. And you know, we always felt bad for Charlie Brown. This gave you some good Charlie Brown wins for a good period of this movie, while still having all those sections where you're like, and he gets it pulled out from under him. It wasn't necessarily a football, but it was everything was pulled out from under him up until the very, you know, end of the movie where he actually kind of comes back and everyone's like, hooray for Charlie Brown, which is nice to see. So I was more into watching those arcs and seeing what was going on there. So every time it kind of went to these longer sections with Snoopy, I was kind of like, okay, we could wrap this up. I'm okay. I'd like to go back to Charlie Brown now. But as a kid, never liked it.
But I agree. I do think that they definitely gave Charlie Brown some wins in this. And I feel like because of the length of the movie, they had to do that. That the Christmas special, for example, it's like 20 minutes. So if Charlie Brown is kind of like getting beat up by life for 20 minutes, it's cool. But if it was if Charlie Brown's getting beat up by life for an hour and a half, I wouldn't be happy about that. Like, I can't just sit and watch that.
I actually feel like this movie is several like smaller movies put together.
In terms of like how it's sort of episodic, I definitely agree. But I guess it'd be more like several little TV shows put together, like little TV show episodes, because it works towards the ending pretty well. The Snoopy stuff, you know, I think maybe they're trying to emulate how the comic strips were, because they would have like, they'd have like a week worth of Snoopy comics, and then they'd have like the next week would be a week worth of Charlie Brown's situation, or a week worth of like just individual character comics. So maybe that's what they were going for, sort of like each part of the movie was like a different week's worth of comics, maybe.
Well, speaking of, this movie is 88 minutes long. Did it feel like 88 minutes? Was it too slow, too fast?
Well, I did take breaks, so I don't think it felt too fast for me. I think there might have been some parts that dragged. Probably if I was, you know, if I had to get up to take a break, it was because the part was dragging a little bit. But I don't think it. I think it was paced well enough. I don't think there were like any real dead zones in terms of like something going on. So I had no real problem with the pacing.
Yeah, it is a little slow to watch all at once. Now, my kids did sit through it, which at that age was not often. I think Sing and this was the only movies they sat through, right? So that at 5 and 7, they sat through it. I think because the Snoopy things break it up, so you have some other action-y kind of more exciting bits along with all the Charlie Brown, you know, which is the focus of the movie, but it definitely has some slow parts. Charlie Brown doing a book report, 5-year-olds don't care. But it was still, they watched the whole thing. So it did feel long. Again, I think Peanuts for those specials being 20 minutes, and that's with commercials and other stuff thrown in there. Those are kind of perfect times for a Peanuts sort of special. Half an hour is enough where you can have a good story, you can have these little short side things, and it worked out well. This did feel like three or four of those kind of clumped together, but with an overarching story, which was good. But I think watching it in breaks is probably better, and this movie is set up fairly well for that. You get to the part where Charlie goes to the dance, stop, go take a break, come back later, watch the next part. You can watch all of the Snoopy part if you want, and then break, come back. Then there's a part where he has the test. Break, come back. You know, so you can watch this in three or four little breaks and probably enjoy it as much, if not more, than watching it in one big block.
Real fast on the book report, though. I do love the initial draft of the book report. There was war, and then there was peace.
Yeah, he seems to gain a couple brain cells in between the first draft and the second draft. And maybe some motor skills, too, because he's writing all huge with a fountain pen, and then he's writing all tiny with a little pencil. Like, he got really smart all of a sudden.
Obviously started using ChatGPT at that point.
Right.
It's the confidence. It's the confidence of, you know, you think you get the smartest test, so now he's like, I can do it. Before, he had this voice in the back of his head saying, I'm wishy-washy, I'm not good at this, I'm never going to succeed. So when you get that little, that win, it shows, like, actually, you are capable of doing a lot more, I think. But that's probably thinking too hard about Peanuts. But that's what I took it, you know.
I do like the fact that the perfect exam just looked like a giant smiley face.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all C.
For the pacing for the movie, for me, though, it felt kind of like sitting down in front of like an omnibus of Peanuts cartoons and just trying to read the whole book in one sitting.
I've done that a few times.
So it really comes down to, so I did pause the movie several times throughout it. And there was a point about halfway through when I paused, there was 45 minutes left. And I was like, I've been here for 3 hours. How can there be 45 minutes left in this movie? And it's because I had taken so many breaks as I was watching along. It did take me 33 hours to get through the first 45 minutes. Not because of the pacing of the movie, but because I had other things I had to go do and I had to keep stopping myself. So when I finally got a chance to sit down and hit pause, I was like, how is there 45? I mean, I started this thing at 1 o'clock. How is there still 45 minutes? But that's on me. That's not on the movie.
True. Fair. Sort of off topic, but I watched Superbad about a year ago and it took me 3 months to finish it. Because I paused it, took a break for a month, came back. But that was, you know, my fault. Nothing to do with the movie. For the test, I actually paused when they were showing the test scores. And I zoomed in a little bit. And down at the bottom of the sheet of paper it says Patricia Reinhardt, which is Peppermint Patty's real name.
Right.
And so basically that was Charlie Brown's real score. And it was like a 64. It was bad.
So why don't we talk about the art style a little bit of the movie? We kind of touched on it. It kind of looks like it's filled for that. But did you guys enjoy the art style of the movie?
Oh, yeah. Loved it. I like to draw. I draw my own comics. So one of the things I did several years ago was I did get back into Peanuts, and I was reading through the Peanuts omnibuses that you mentioned before. And I noticed how amazing Charles Schulz's skill with the pen was. He's like really good at drawing. And specifically, he's really good at drawing comics, like little comic strips. And part of that isn't just that he's, you know, a good artist. It's that he knows where to put his effort in. So his line work sometimes looks like chicken scratch, but it tells the story perfectly. And they all look really good. Like, I remember one of the things that really struck me was how he drew rain. Like, when he was drawing the rain coming down, you could tell he wasn't drawing each line really slowly and carefully. He was just like going crazy with the pen to put down the effects. And I tried doing that more with my artwork because I was like, you know, I'm spending way too much time on this. I should be more like Charles Schulz. And it really, really helped out. Even not just for helping out the art, helped me because I had more time to do other things. So I think when you're dealing with his art style, you need to be able to have that sort of free-handed look. But when you're making a huge budget film, you also have to make sure that it looks good and it's reproducible. So the fact that they were able to get his line quality into the characters, into the snow, into the backgrounds. And actually, I scratched the backgrounds. I thought that was really amazing how they did that. I did not pay close attention to the scenery when I was watching this movie. because I guess I was invested in what the characters were doing. But I do think that they took more creative liberties with how they did the scenery. It's not exactly Charles Schultz style. It's just, you know, it just looks good. So I was impressed with the art style. And like in the, especially in the Red Baron scenes, I loved the animation. I thought it was really, really good. Anyway.
It was a good 3D version of the Charles Schultz drawings of Peanuts. It wasn't, we took his drawings and then, you know, the backgrounds are super detailed. They weren't. I mean, that's why you didn't reckon, you didn't like focus on it. They just kind of made some very basic backgrounds because he didn't ever, I mean, some on the rare occasion there would be something there. But if you think about all those specials, it was like very plain backgrounds. You didn't have to worry about too many things to distract you from the Peanuts characters. They did the same thing with the 3D Peanuts versions. But like, you know, like you mentioned, Charlie Brown's hair, it has that spiral little squiggle, the little piece in the back I didn't like. But the spiral squiggle was fine, and I knew he wasn't supposed to be bald with this little thing, but that's how you always saw him. I think it would look bizarre if they would have tried to give him anything else other than that. So I don't know what else they could do. I thought they did a good job. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only thing that, and I wouldn't say this is bad, I would say the only character that really didn't look exactly like I thought, and it wasn't drastically off, but maybe it's just the way it was animated, was Snoopy himself. Everybody else, I thought, looked exactly like you would expect. Snoopy was fine. It was not like you're like, whoa, they took a real dog and put him in here. But it was still like,
oh man,
not quite exactly the same as I recalled Snoopy looking. Stills he did, but when he started moving around, it just did not, maybe, I don't know what it was, but it just didn't move exactly like the hand-drawn, you know, older cartoons of him. So, but it was still looked like I wanted Peanuts to look. And my fear when I heard about this before would have been, they're going to, you know, completely redo the art style, or they're going to, you know, make it 3D and like all the kids will be like a taller height and they won't have this big of a head. And like, I don't want any of that. I want them to look like the Peanuts characters. And they did a really good job of matching that.
Snoopy is actually pretty hard to draw because the way he's structured is just really confusing. I've drawn him a couple times just like to give his gifts and stuff. And I think he's tricky to do. There's like a story about, Garfield, you watch the Garfield movie.
Yeah, unfortunately, we did. It's you know how this is really close to Peanuts and kind of has that same feel? Garfield movie does not. They did not. It has some Garfield moments, but really it just felt like they didn't know what to do with this strip and they made a movie and they put Garfield in it.
Right. Well, apparently when Jim Davis was writing the comic, at first, when he first started drawing it, Garfield was sort of like an actual cat in the same way that when the Peanuts first started, Snoopy was like an actual puppy dog. But he was having trouble getting his look right because he was changing things around. And apparently he talked to Charles Schultz, and Charles Schultz drew a picture and he just said, put him on his back feet. Just make him stand up straight. And he drew a picture of Garfield standing up on this, you know, his weird, oddly shaped feet. He's like, just do this. And then Jim Davis was like, that's perfect. So he just put him on his feet and he stopped treating him like a cat. He started treating him like some weird goblin creature, and it took off. It worked. Snoopy, I feel like probably when they were designing him for 3D, they ran into some trouble and were just like, this is our best option. This is how we're going to do it. Just went for it.
I've never heard Garfield referred to as a goblin creature, but I love it. Especially after seeing the Garfield movie.
Right.
This question I have you guys, though, because like I said, this IP is old. Like the Peanuts has been around for forever. This movie, before this movie came out, there had not been another movie for 30 years. Obviously, we're now getting to a point where it's been 10 years since this movie. Should they go back and revisit this IP? And if they do, should they keep this style to reintroduce it to a new audience? Or should they try to create a Alvin and Chipmunks or Garfield type of movie?
I think they should leave it. I think probably this is the best we're going to get. If they made another movie, I think maybe if it focused entirely on Snoopy, that might be a smart move. I don't know if I'd enjoy it, but I feel like that would be a smart way to go. I feel like it'd be very difficult to make a movie about any of the characters other than Charlie Brown. Like if they wanted to make a Linus movie, I think they would totally mess that up because his character in the comics is very kind of oddly cerebral. I feel like it'd be hard to do that. A Peppermint Patty and Marcy movie would not work. A Lucy movie, maybe they could do it in the style of Dr. Katz or something, where she's like a psychiatrist. No, I think this is as good as it gets.
Yeah, I think if they're going to do more in this, it would still have to be the same kind of focus on Charlie Brown doing something else. It would have to be either, you know, they go someplace. It doesn't have to be crazy, but they went places on the show and on the strips, and like they could easily go. I mean, I don't know if I'd have him go to France again, but he could go wherever, and it would work if the whole group went, or many of the group went. They'd go on a school field trip. Who knows? There'd be anything they could go do, and it would be fine. I don't know if they need to, but I would not be surprised to see another one, but I would like it to look the same. Like, I think they matched the art style very well. It, you know, again, it's timeless. The animation still looks really good. I mean, it's not that old of a movie, but still 10 years, and it still looks really good. They could easily do another one of these. And again, I think for the purpose of it being a kid's movie, that anyone, it's a family movie, really. It's not a kid's movie, but it's a family movie because there's stuff for anybody. It's not dumb. It's not a dumb children's movie. But it's also, there's nothing in here you're going to be like, whoa, I shouldn't have had my kids watch this, right? There's so many of those. I just came back from seeing the Minecraft movie, which was fine. My kids are older now. It was appreciated. But it is not a kid's, I mean, it's kids want to see it, but there's adult jokes in there. And there's stuff that's in there that you're like, oh boy, they're going to repeat that. And that's not great. But it wasn't offensive by any means, but it's just dumb. It's a dumb movie. And I don't really play Minecraft. It has Minecraft theming. It's like the Lego movie, right? I like the Lego movie. Was it really about Legos? Kind of. But it was just like they took an idea and they're like, we can make this like current comedy movie based in Legos. And this is the same thing with Minecraft, right? I like this because it's still at its core Peanuts. It's the same thing I would have remembered. And it was the same things I remembered. And you can go back and watch those specials and read the strips. And this is still feels very much like that. So I'm glad they didn't go 100% in a different direction. So if they did more of this, it would have to be the same. I don't want to see a reimagining of Peanuts. I don't want to see live action world with Peanuts characters in it. I don't want any of that. I would rather just see another thing like this with another story to tell.
In regard to that, I had a question for you guys. What did you think of the music choices for this film?
Honestly, I didn't even notice them.
Yeah, that's a good point. It didn't really stand out to me, which is probably good. It felt very much like that same kind of piano kind of uplift music, but it wasn't, you know, I didn't have some, you know, current, there's no Katy Perry playing in the middle of the movie. I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah, because we always talk about music too, and there's always that problem, like, especially like late 90s movies, where pretty much every song in the movie just came out the month prior to it. And you can tell it feels very dated. This didn't feel very dated. Now, I do believe that the woman who does, it's a song about bass, but anyway, like, there is a more recent ass singer in this movie, from what I understand, but I did not even recognize any of the songs, nor did any of them stand out to me. They just seemed to be.
It could have been at the dance. I didn't pay any attention to the music at the dance.
The song about bass?
No, her song is about bass. All about the bass. I forgot.
Oh, it's Megan Trainor. I didn't know that was her. Okay.
Yeah, I think she's. I think she's on the soundtrack for this movie.
I felt like the Peanuts specials all had music by Vince Guaraldi, like the great jazz musician, and that music is really, really good. And I felt like they didn't 100% go for that. They did have, you know, they're in the dance scene, they have someone singing, but I didn't find any, like, I didn't love the music, but it was definitely not bad. It wasn't offensive. It totally fit the movie. So I thought I thought the weakest thing of the movie was the soundtrack, but at the same time, it didn't affect my enjoyment of the film. Anyway, I just was curious about that because I didn't know you felt like it matched the specials or not.
It's hard because the only special that I can honestly, other than like the main Peanuts theme, is all the Christmas stuff, right? You know, you remember those songs, and those specifically, I've got, like, you know, we have that on CD, and we have it, we play it in general, mixed in with our Christmas music. That just is part of the season. So those are the ones I remember, but the rest of the specials, I mean, other than, again, the main Peanuts theme, it was just that kind of jazz piano sound to it. And this was not quite the same, but it also, again, it wasn't modern hits everywhere, except for it does look like that song was in the dance, which is why I wouldn't remember it, because they were dancing. It would make sense to have kind of a more uplift dance number there, but it was a song made for this movie. It wasn't a song that I would have heard anywhere else. So
this movie gets a ton of positive reviews from people typically, but they all are leaning heavily upon sort of like it brought them back their childhood, made them, you know, feel young again. Removing the nostalgia from this movie, do you think it warrants a high rating?
I mean, I don't think the nostalgia hurts. And I think the fact that they were very faithful to the original work kind of works to their advantage because, you know, if you're nostalgic for Peanuts, you're probably nostalgic for the movies. You probably like the feeling of them more than just the content. So I feel like it might not be, I wouldn't say it's 100% nostalgia. I think it's a good movie by itself, especially for kids. But I do think, like, if they didn't try to nail the landing, it could have worked against them pretty badly. But you said your kids liked it, so that's probably some you know, a point in their favor, in the movie's favor.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, is that, yes, for me, it was nostalgic, but it was hitting the exact notes it needed to. It was still, it wasn't like, oh, I remember when this happened and I like this one reference, right? Like, you know, we talked about the Garfield movie. There's definitely things in there that I was like, I laughed at, but there were also tons of things in there that was like, that is not what Garfield was like. I don't know why they're doing this here. They could have done a lot more. There's no normal. What are we doing? This was very much, like I said, the greatest hits of Peanuts, a show that's, and a strip that was timeless. You know, for our parents, it was around, I mean, unless your parents are way older than mine, it was around for my parents' entire life. The strips and the specials came out when they would have been teenagers. And you know, as soon as we were born, they were making us, not making us watch it. It was an event, right? Remember, everyone, as TV, when we were kids, it was like, hey, check your TV guide. It's coming on this Tuesday night at 9 p.m. or 8 p.m., followed by Garfield, followed by whatever else. And you were so excited to see that every year because you couldn't just stream it when you wanted to. So it's timeless. So yes, it has nostalgia, but in this case, I think it's a nostalgia in the, for something that was a timeless kind of good quality product. So it's not just nostalgia because, you know, you can, there's 100 different versions of Transformers out today on cartoons, and my kids don't like any of them. I do, but that's because for me, it reminds me of when I was into Transformers, right? This is different. This is hitting the exact marks it needs to be that original, not a reimagining, but like a reboot. I don't know, rebirth. I don't know how to even put it. Something, a nice way to say they've taken Peanuts and they've modernized it, but kept it exactly where it needs to be.
It, nobody talked about sort of like, what did you love about the movie? What did you hate about the movie? But I think another way, since we sort of talk about this movie as being like an encapsulation of all the previous Peanuts movies together, what do you wish they could have added to it from that universe that they did not have?
My thing would be that you'd wish you'd see some more of these other characters' side stories, but I don't want a longer movie. I don't need 2.5 hours of a Peanuts movie so that I can have a Linus subplot. If you're going to have to focus on a couple characters, especially for kids that may not know these properties, picking Charlie Brown is 100% the right thing to do, and Snoopy is the right thing to do. So, you know, the only thing I wish it would have been there was some of the other subplots with these other characters to give you a little more background in them, but did it need to be there? No, but that's what I would have wanted.
Yeah, just hearing you say that just makes me think back to the pacing question. Basically, this movie is perfect pacing. Like, if you're gonna put something in, you're gonna have to take something else out. That's the only, like, and I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I'd want to put in there. One thing that I thought was kind of weird was how they did a huge time skip from Christmas to the last day of school. Like, his paper gets ripped up, he's all sad, and then it's Christmas, and then the next thing you know, it's the last day of school. I'm like, did he really just mope around for the next 3 months? Like, after his paper got ripped up, did he ever hand in a report? What do his grades look like now?
Having 3 kids, it does feel that way. Right after Christmas is done, boom, it's the end of the school year. Grades are done. It's time to move on. Where are you going on vacation?
That makes sense. But yeah, I mean, so the pacing was good. I don't think I'd add anything. I liked how they did the ending. I like how he kind of got like closure for the redhead girl situation, but they didn't like make a big deal about it. It was like,
right,
like a proper kid goodbye. You know, it's like you finally talk to her, she goes on vacation, you just live the rest of your life. That's what it's like when you're a kid. So I thought that right. was good.
And I like that that ended with that high note. So you have the high note of he has that resolved. He gets to see her, she gets to say goodbye and say how much she, you know, actually did want to be his partner or whatever. And you're like, oh, this is really nice. And then everyone's like, hooray for Charlie Brown for flying a kite or whatever else. And it was good and it was happy and it ends. It didn't have to have, like, now Charlie Brown goes on a date where it goes horribly wrong and you feel bad for Charlie Brown again. So I was glad we didn't have to do any of that. We got to end on a good high note.
Speaking of which, if they did a sequel, I wouldn't want them to bring the redhead girl back. Like, don't bring her back. I don't want to see the continuation of her story because it wasn't written in the comics. So if they were to do a sequel, I would have to nix that entire plot line. But
yeah, I agree. I think that's it would, because I don't want to see a Charlie Brown dating story. I don't want to see it. And I also don't want to see a story where Charlie Brown's still going to school with a girl who, and on a high note, now she's like, I hate Charlie Brown. He's a loser. Like, I don't want that either. So I need, like, just she needs to be on vacation and moves away. And that's the end of that arc.
Well, I think it's kind of nice because you guys touched upon it several times. Charlie Brown is a lovable loser, right? He's always struggling. He kind of reminds kids that this doesn't always go the right way, no matter what you do. But he does end on a high note. Jeremy, I think it was Jeremy, you said that he flew the kite. He never flies the kite. He got to fly the kite. He didn't kick the football, but he did fly the kite. He did, quote unquote, get the girl, which is as much as he can get. because this is the last movie. The Schultz family has said that the only reason they agreed to do this movie was that this is it. No more. It's over. So I think it's nice to finally see Charlie Brown have a happy ending, at least happy for him.
I would be surprised if we don't see further Peanuts things. It doesn't have to be a movie. It could be another like animated TV show that's in this style. Apple owns it to some level, or at least the rights to it. I would not be surprised at all to see more, but I'm glad they didn't like throw out another Peanuts movie the next year and throw another, because it made enough money. It wasn't like it was a flop. It made money for the studio. They were happy with the returns. Like, I'm glad that they've been very sparing, whether or not that's the studio's will or the Schultz family will. I'm glad they've kind of kept it sparse, but I would also be surprised if we don't see something else. Because again, these characters are kind of timeless. Their situation is timeless. I would not be surprised to see something in the next 5 or 6 years where it shows up again.
For people who are not familiar with the Peanuts characters, I don't know who those people are, but there are, maybe there's one out there. Should they go find this movie? Is this a good onboarding for people who want to understand who the Peanuts characters are?
I'd say, yeah, if you want to know who the Peanuts characters are, if you want to get into the comics, I don't know, or into the TV specials, maybe this is a good place to start. I guess because it's the last movie, it's like a better place to finish. I think if you're going to start anywhere, start with, you know, one of the comic collections or start with one of the TV specials. But yeah, I mean, if like you're a kid and this is your first exposure to the Peanuts, Charlie Brown and Snoopy, I don't think that would be an issue at all.
No, I think it's a good starting point. I mean, I do agree. I would rather, and I know for my kids, their introduction was the specials. Again, those are, for most people, I'm pretty sure at least one of those is a seasonal piece, if not Halloween or Christmas. Maybe someone's out there that's really into the one where he joins the army or whatever, or Snoopy joins the army. I don't know. But I know those three are like, they're out all the time. They still even put them on TV, and I don't know what the actual viewership is, and she can watch them on Apple, but they're there, right? So I'm glad that those are out there. I think those are timeless in their own way. But as an introduction to the characters, where you don't need that background of like if the first one you watched was It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, like Charlie Brown's in it, but it's not really about Charlie Brown. It's about Linus. And that's good. Mm-hmm. I like it. But that's not a great introduction to the entire Peanuts universe. I think this is a good, you see Charlie Brown, you get the relationship between him and the other kids. You get enough of the other kids to know they all have their own little personalities. It's not just random students and Charlie Brown. So I think this is a good starting point, especially because it is an hour and a half long. You do have a lot of time to kind of get used to everything and then go back and watch those other specials, read the collections. Like those are all, it's a good way to get started. Because again, the collections, while I think they're well worth reading, I couldn't have given those to my 7-year-old and have him care, right? He would have been like, sure, Dad, maybe one or two of these he'd laugh at, but otherwise he's like, I don't get why I'm reading this. Where this gives you enough and it keeps your attention and it does break it up with these Snoopy bits that I didn't necessarily love this time, but I see why they're in there and my kids love them. So that clearly maybe it's on me this time, but this is a good introduction. Long way to say that. Yes.
How would you guys rate this movie?
So here's, I mean, normally we do a funny rating, but this might be the first time I give like a straight rating to a movie. I would say in our one thumb up or one thumb down rating, this is a good 3/4 up. It's a great kids movie. So if you're looking for a kids movie or a family movie for a night and you're like, we can't find something to watch, and I have kids of all ages here, this is a great choice because it will keep people of all ages paying attention to it. It moves fast enough. It's 88 minutes long, so it's not a super long movie night. And there's nothing in here you're going to have to explain to a child or have them leave the room for, or say, I'm so sorry we watched this. So for that purpose, this gets a full thumbs up. But for if you're, just in our scheme of movies, does it match the comic books? Is it something we're seeing? It's a good 3/4 up thumb. So that's not a very funny answer, but this is not a hilarious movie. It's just an entertaining movie.
Yeah, I'd say I'd give it, I can't think of anything funny to say. I would give it a perfect rating for kids. If you're a Peanuts fan, I'd say I'd give it a perfect rating because you can't really have an excuse to miss it. It's only 80 minutes, 88 minutes long or whatever. And then as a movie in general, I'd probably give it about, like 7 stars, maybe 6 stars. It's definitely fun. And then, of course, I'm giving too many ratings. So I'm going to stop there.
If you like soup, it's a 6. But yeah, your name is Steve, it's a 4. But yeah, no, it's... If you like Peanuts, it's an accurate Peanuts, right? That's what matters. So
yeah,
I think that's really about it. There's really sort of 3 audiences. If you're a kid, middle school and younger, it's a good movie, right? They're gonna enjoy it. My high schoolers, not so much. They walked out of the room several times. For a Peanuts fan, if you're a Peanuts fan, you've probably already seen this movie. I don't know why you would have missed it. It's essentially another Peanuts movie. I mean, there's nothing else more to say about that. It's a perfect representation of it. For a movie of blockbuster level movie, or should people like drop everything they've got to go out and see, but they're not a fan of Peanuts to begin with. If you're not a fan of Peanuts, you probably aren't going to enjoy this too much.
Is it canon to the Peanuts universe?
Actually, that's something I've always wondered about Peanuts, is that are they all interconnected? Are they all just sort of separate stories being told? Like, is there actually a connective tissue of like a giant story arc of Charlie Brown? Because if so, that kid has never aged.
Yeah, that's true. That was a big issue for the comic strips for a while. Like, do I age the characters up or do I keep them the same age? And, you know, if comics used to run for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and if you were aging them up, you'd have characters die. It was like a big question if you were making comics for a while. I think they made the right choice not aging them up too much.
Imagine like a fat Charlie Brown sitting in a Barca lounger with a beer in one hand.
I don't have to imagine that.
Charles That's my Brown. Life.
Charles Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I think we captured it. If you like Peanuts, this is a guarantee watch. If you have small children, you're looking for a movie that would be appropriate for them, but you would enjoy, this is good. But I think you're right, Chris. If it's like, oh man, I'm hanging out with my bros on a Thursday, we're not watching the Peanuts movie. That's not going to happen. I mean, even if we all like Peanuts, we're going to watch something else. And we watch it on our own later and be like, you know what, I'm glad I watched that. But it's not for blockbuster movies, this is not going to be on your list, right? But for family movies, this should be up there.
I think if you're a big animation fan, this is definitely well worth watching just for the technical skill that they put into it. If you're a movie fan, like if you're a big movie buff, you have to watch every movie anyway, so I'd get this one.
That's true.
Actually, speaking of the animation, I know we sort of moved on from that point, but I it feels like a claymation a little bit, not just animated. I mean, granted, it's all CGI, it's all rendered, but it had like this feeling of like almost like a claymation to it. I almost see it as like a very expensive, you know, Robot Chicken.
I think that's a pretty good insight, and I think a lot of that comes down to the stylization. Whenever they have the characters in motion, in order to make it look good, they did a lot of cuts. So like if a character spins around, they weren't giving you like the whole, like the 3D in 3D space motion. They would cut and smear a good amount, which is what you have to do in claymation. You know, you skip some areas, but that's to make the stylization look correct.
Especially the dancing when they're doing the Dax line.
Yes. When you get to see all their dances, they all do all the different dances you see, and it's perfect. It looks exactly like you want it to.
That was my favorite part of the specials, when they always dance and every kid has one dance move.
Actually, it's funny. Yeah, there's a scene where they're like looking down on the dance floor. They're in the same position they used to be in for like all the shots. So, Jack, where can people find you, and what are you working on?
Okay. So basically I mostly make web comics. Most of my comics you can find at nowicantlose.com, which is my personal website. They're comic strips, sort of like Peanuts, but I don't really have overarching characters. They're basically just jokes, and I build the entire comic around the joke I'm telling. But kind of more exciting, what I'm currently in the middle of, a new game book. It's like a choose-your-own-adventure style novel. It's called Manner of Death to be Decided. Basically, you're in a haunted house, and you have to go through the rooms of the house and try to either escape or... you have the option of basically like, if you make all the right moves, you can take, ownership of the house. But that's what I'm working on right now.
So, and Jeremy, how about you?
Oh, you can always find me here every 2 weeks doing Movie Smash, but also on the Retrovaniacs podcast. You can find everything Retrovaniacs at retrovania.net, where we also do some streaming on Twitch, some YouTube videos, everything else, talking about old video games.
For me, I'm always over at All Panel Creations. We're always over there building some piece of nerdy furniture. I want to thank our listeners for spending some time with us today. And if you want to see a spinoff of this movie for one of the other Peanuts characters, please let us know and send us a note over at movie-smash.com, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. This has been Movie Smash with Chris Roberts, Jeremy Parmentier, and Fergal Amayo, produced by me, Chris Roberts, executive produced by Off Panel Creations, LLC. Movie clips provided by the respective studios. You can rate and review the show at Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You might even find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for us? Visit us at movie-smash.com and send us a note. It too can be read on a future episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe to Movie Smash wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I can't think of anything funny to say.